Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
Moncrief on News Talk.
What are these other rooms?
The sitting room, the linen room, the gym, the solarium. The music room is at the end of the hall, and the kitchen, well, the mini kitchen.
Wow, that's super interesting. I'm just wondering, should we circle back to the dead man in the game room at this point, or stay on the tour?
Stay on the tour. Go ahead.
That's The Residence. You can stream all episodes now of season one on Netflix. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon, John.
So this is a kind of a Shondaland jobby?
Yeah, by that as in, if you know the accuracy of Bridgerton to Regency times, it's about as accurate when it comes to the White House. So it's kind of a funny genesis for this. It comes really, it's an adaptation of a book, a non-fiction book called The Residence Inside the Private World of the White House by Kate Anderson Brower, which is sort of this, you know, sprawling multi-hundred page look at all of the different roles that people might have in the non-political residential side of the White House, who are there for decades, maybe working as ushers and butlers and, you know, calligraphers and things like that. But they have they've adapted that by placing, shall we say, a Knives Out / Only Murders in the Building-esque murder mystery at the center of this piece. So really, it's the invention of a new alliteratively named detective in the name of Cordelia Cupp, played by Uzo Aduba, who people will know from many things, but I suppose mostly from Orange is the New Black. And they take this idea of exploring the residence, the White House, all the different jobs and rooms, etc., by having a state dinner with the Australian delegation go incredibly badly when the chief usher is found dead in what looks like an apparent suicide. But our detective arrives on scene, and of course, she being eccentric and into bird watching and many other things, immediately sniffs out that all is not quite what it seems, and sequesters everybody, including the Australian Prime Minister and Kylie Minogue, not the same thing, into the White House for the night, and won't let anyone leave before she can figure out who done it.
And is Kylie just like happens to be the entertainer there, or does Kylie have an actual part in this?
Kylie has a bumped up cameo. I mean, she's in multiple episodes, but when we first see her, she's just singing a few of her hits on the stage in one of the kind of, you know, in one of the meeting rooms in the White House. And then she does appear for various little bits. But this is a really hyper stylized show in the sense that, you know, they are constantly cutting and editing different scenes, vignettes, clips, sound things, job, you know, different characters. It reminds me a lot of, You know, like, I think it's very closely linked to Only Murders in the Building, not only in terms of its sensibility, but also in terms of the style that it's trying to evoke. Like, that has a very unique kind of cutesy, rich American style. And here it's very similar with, like, jazz music playing in the background. So it although it is part of the Shondaland kind of universe, it comes from a guy named Paul William Davies, who is one of Shonda Rhimes' kind of head honchos. He wrote a lot on Scandal. So he knows his way around the White House with regard to what she likes in her shows. And I found it very good, but like at 55 minutes per episode, at times I found the kind of the style a bit overwhelming and a little bit kind of too cutesy when ultimately we're dealing with a murder here.
Yeah. And so we don't see any politicians or the president or any of that kind of stuff. It's all the characters are behind the scenes people, so to speak.
Well, we do see the president and indeed his husband and his mother-in-law and his banished brother, who I believe is a red herring at some point, right? But like all in, it is more about the staff of the White House and the intricacies there. So like, you know, in the first few episodes, we have this chief usher being played by Giancarlo Esposito of, you know, Breaking Bad fame and literally everything else so far this century. He was actually a late addition because originally the main kind of murder victim was supposed to be played by Andre Brower of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but he passed away after. So it's had quite a troubled production. It originally was set to start and then broke for the writer's strike and then had to completely recast its lead as well. So I would say a lot of it is really about, like, while the president does appear and certainly the prime minister of Australia appears, he's played by Julian McMahon, who actually is the son, I think, of the 20th prime minister of Australia, which is real Nepo baby casting, you know, perfectly done. But it's more about like the different grievances that other employees of the residents have with this chief usher and why they might be, suspected for having done it. But like, of course, it's like every other murder mystery in the vein of Knives Out and eccentric kooky detective arrives. You know, there are many, 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 many red herrings to get through before we get to the main course.
Yeah. And Giancarlo Esposito is the murder victim. So I assume we're seeing him in flashbacks all the way through.
Absolutely. We're seeing him in multiple flashbacks. And as I said, this is like not necessarily a show you want to be second screening at the same time, because they will be throwing in flashbacks to things, you know, for microseconds of a scene before moving on to another thing. It's a very frenetic style that I think in small doses would work better rather than these long hour episodes.
Yeah. But is it entertaining?
Yeah, I have to admit, I did find it entertaining. Like, look, there's a reason why things like Knives Out and Only Murders in the Building are popular. It's because they're about these cute, funny characters going around and solving, you know, interesting mysteries. The mystery here is interesting. The way they've laid it out is good and entertaining and juicy and meaty. The kind of insight into the White House, which is really what we're getting here in the adaptation of that book, is interesting and meaty and funny at times. It has a brilliant cast. I mean, not only Uzo Aduba and Giancarlo Esposito, but like Jason Lee, Randall Park, Bronson Pinchot, Ken Marino, all these very famous kind of like comedians are in it as well. So all in, I very much enjoyed it. I just kind of would have loved it to be, you know, half an hour.
yeah, usual complaint. Right, our next show is Dope Thief. New episodes every Friday on Apple TV Plus. Here's a clip.
He didn't tell you what we do, did he?
No. Just said you just needed muscle for something.
Man, it's not about muscle, all right? It's about being smart.
So you guys kind of like...
Yep. You getting it? Yeah, we just take our cut from the chaos, right? It's like when there's too many deer in the woods, right? You gotta call the hunters to trim the population. Otherwise, the deer is to eat all the crop, wander into the road.
Okay, so is it the case that our heroes are crooked cops, essentially?
Not quite, right? So this is adapted again from a novel, and it's another bit of Nepo babying going on here, because it's made by a guy named Peter Craig, who is Sally Field's son. And it involves these bunch of down and out criminals in Philadelphia right at the beginning of, or right in the middle of the pandemic. I think it's set in 2021. And they are two guys who befriended each other in prison. They are Ray and Manny, played by Brian Tyree Henry and Wagner Moura. The latter probably best known for playing Pablo Escobar in Narcos, and the former for being a paperboy in Atlanta. But I mean, he's a very interesting actor because he's already had like a Tony nomination, an Emmy nomination, an Oscar nomination, and only the Grammy yet to not win. But they play a pair who met in prison, befriended each other, and now they go around posing as DEA agents and pretend to raid small-time drug dealers in Philadelphia and take their money, take whatever they have, and go off and spend it on them, spend it themselves. And of course, in a show like this, what's going to happen? But they get enticed to that one big score. That's that one big score too many, and they steal from the wrong people. And they essentially then have to deal with the blowback from that. Now, what I liked really a lot about this is you never quite know what you're going to get in any single episode. Like, I, this so far to me has been perhaps the most stressful TV show I've seen in 2025 so far this year, because the guys are bumbling and at times funny in that kind of way. You know, there's a kind of like a buddy comedy going on here between our two main leads, but then they bumble their way into a really seriously messed up deal that results in five people killed and them running from bullets. And when the violence comes, it is shocking and it is brutal, and it would remind you of things like The Wire or really classic kind of crime criminal gung, drug gangland kind of stuff. So you want to have an appetite for that kind of thing when you're sitting down to watch this. But then, as I said, it will just surprise you with these moments of levity and humor that are undeniable. There's like a really funny ongoing scene with Brian Tyree Henry trying to sort out his like sort of quasi mother figure's little dog who is just driving him mad, and returns home believing that, you know, the gang has found out where he lives, but it's actually just the dog who's wrecked the house. So all in, it is it's an odd show, but whatever kind of oddness it's going with, I'm really vibing with, because as I said, I never know what I'm going to get with a single episode.
Yeah. Okay. But that's it's kind of got elements. It's somewhat comedic, but quite tense as well.
Yes, I think it does both like extremely well. Like when it is funny and obviously funny, it is very funny. When it is going for these dramatic chops moments, when it's telling, you know, the past of our two guys, both of them are recovering addicts who are stealing from drug dealers in order to not feed their addiction, but sort of get by in COVID time America, when small time jobs are not available to people who perhaps have a criminal record. And that's the sort of work they would normally be getting. So like all in, it makes these very kind of earnest attempts at exploring why somebody might turn to crime. But then when it turns to the crime, it really amps up the kind of danger and threat involved in getting involved with like really serious criminal organizations. And it's exciting to watch.
And interesting that it's set during the pandemic. So that like, are people in lockdown? Are you seeing lots of empty streets and that kind of thing?
People are, you're seeing the kind of real underbelly of Philadelphia. So, it's a lot of people who are living in homelessness or addicts in recovery, things like that. But like, you are certainly seeing constantly in the background reminders of the pandemic being there with news stories and masking up and things like that.
Yeah. Okay, our final show is Happy Face. New episodes every Thursday on Paramount Plus. Here's a clip.
Ivy, what do you know about the Happy Face killer?
The trucker serial killer from around here?
Mm-hmm.
He killed in the 90s, serial, but under 10. He used to sign letters to newspapers with Happy Face.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Anything to add, Melissa?
Why would she? What's going on? This is true crime. She's makeup.
And yet earlier today, the Happy Face killer called his show and said he had information about a murder.
What?
Okay, so this is more murder?
I'm afraid so, yeah, right? Like, so this one is quote-unquote inspired by a true story, and it opens, you know, with that claim. And there is no denying its bona fides. There is some truth to it being inspired by a true story. Perhaps the biggest names attached to it are Robert and Michelle King, who, you know, have that pantheon of great dramas of this side of the, you know, 21st century, with The Good Wife, The Good Fight, Elspeth to some degree, and Evil, which never got the due credit it deserved. But they they are attached to it, but it's really made by a woman named Jennifer Caticchio, I want to say, but adapted by from a podcast and a memoir named Shattered Silence about the main character. So she is Melissa Moore in real life and Melissa Reed in this. She's played by Anne Lee Ashford, who is like absolute musical darling of New York, as in has won a couple of Tonys, nominated a few times, is often on Broadway leading musicals. And she plays a makeup artist who, as a teenager, her father, and this is true, her father was arrested and sent to jail for 8 serial killings. He was the happy face killer. He used to leave little notes with happy faces and send them into newspapers and so on as his sort of calling card. He's played by Dennis Quaid, who's having quite the year because he was like many people's least favorite part, in a good way, of The Substance. Here he is perhaps not as well directed because he's kind of over amping it and really going for his Hannibal Lecter moment in a way that didn't quite work for me. But she is a makeup artist on a daytime chat show, and he calls from prison, and she then gets roped into figuring out a mystery involving his potential 9th victim. And that's a lot to take in 2 episodes, shall we say, of an 8 episode arc. So all in, it's a mixed bag for me. I want to say I thought Anne Lee Ashford was fantastic in this lead role. She is eminently watchable. She's funny when she needs to be funny. She's warm when she needs to be warm. She's heartbreaking and sad and, you know, gutsy, all those kinds of things. She ends up on the road trying to get a guy off death row as part of this whole thing. And that's where the arc of the series is. But what I was more interested in it exploring is kind of true crime from the media perspective, as in you have these producers sort of egging her on to get involved for, you know, for their TV ratings. And what's the sort of ethics of that? And the show kind of, for me, drops the ball on that because we see her being pushed and produced. But it all has sort of a happy ending, quote unquote, where everything works out and nobody's annoyed with anyone. And certainly, I think if I was the child of a serial killer and told by my boss, actually, just go on and talk about this, I might want to say no, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it quite as well explores that, you know, that kind of spectacle side, shall we say, of true crime, which it could because it has this opportunity to do so. But if you're looking for like a, not quite crime of the week, but like a sort of a weekly dose of Robert and Michelle King, this is not as good as The Good Fight or the Good Wife, but it has something to it as well.
Yeah. But is it quite sinister tonally? Because it sounds from your description, it's a bit Silence of the Lambsy that she's going to visit this creepy dad of hers.
I mean, there are times where she's visiting him in, you know, in his jail cell, and he is being not quite, you know, masked up and fava beaning his way through the interview, but he's certainly like alluding to the various crimes that he did. But it's played more serious, like it's not played for kind of grisly laughs, it's played for kind of an emotional beat more so. But for me, the Dennis Quaid character just doesn't quite work because he's, you know, he seemed to think most of his performance goes into like a manic stare through a pair of aviator sunglasses, and that, like, we'll call it a day there. And for me, he's the weak link, and that's the problem because, you know, he's meant to be the terrifying one.
Right, those 3 shows are The Residence. You can stream all of the episodes of season 1 now on Netflix. Dope Thief, new episodes every Friday on Apple TV Plus, and Happy Face, new episodes every Thursday on Paramount Plus. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Cheers, thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.